And welcome to a very special episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Just so much emotions. I mean, I know we had a day to stew over this, but I'm still emotional watching over these reactions. Holy moly.
And also here, of course, is Tyler.
Yes, I was surprised by just how passionate Will was about this. We're recording a day early because Will is going to be busy picking up Metroid Dread tomorrow.
And
of course, are you getting the Switch OLED, Will?
Well, I actually will be picking up for another colleague of mine who will be meeting up with me at New York Comic Con. So that's what we'll discuss it. So I'm pretty much, I thankfully nailed a spot with the Nintendo Fast Pass. So I actually nailed a spot in the early morning. So I will be getting Metroid Dread Special Edition for our boss, the Amiibos for myself, and the OLED for our colleague Kyle. So yes, yeah. I'm going to be spending a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but get paid back soon.
So between the games and New York Comic Con, he asked us to do this a day early. And I was one fine with that. And as he said, we've had a day to stew on the Sora thing. And so this entire podcast, due to the epic trailer that was released yesterday at the time of this recording, and the fact that there honestly hasn't been a lot of other Nintendo news to talk about, we are dedicating
Metroid Dread, which is good.
Oh yes, very good. We've heard it's very good. And there's the Animal Crossing Direct has been announced. We have that up on the site. Anyway, we're dedicating this entire podcast to Sora and Smash Brothers. So, yeah. We're going to be talking about, of course, the reveal trailer, the reactions to it as well talked about, Sora's impact on the game, Super Smash Brothers as a whole, and maybe our future endeavors with the franchise. So, gentlemen, for this whole episode, it's time to settle it in Smash. All right, so let's get started with, obviously, Sora. We freaking got Sora. And I want to talk about specifically... Okay, I want to talk about two things specifically. One, Sakurai, as much as we love him, is a freaking troll. All right? He did not start off the presents with a trailer. He showed us the Mii costumes first. Like, he's like, he knows we're expecting it first, and we didn't get it. And it was like, okay, fine, Sakurai wants to talk. Ah, ha, ha, ha. And then he goes to the Amiibo costumes, and one of them's Doom Slayer. Cool. Glad he's finally in the game, kinda. And then he's like, here's the trailer. Like, thank God. And then it starts, and it starts out with the reference to the Splatoon, or the Inkling trailer that revealed the game with a fiery logo. I love that logo. Can I just say that? I love the fiery logo. All right? Yep, it's just something about it. And then we get all the characters in their, what do you want to call them, trophy forms? Their trophy forms,
yes, and all that.
And then the logo goes out, and there's a tiny little spark that just stays there, lights up the darkness, and everything goes dark. And, you know, none of the characters are moving, and then Mario grabs, or sorry, he wakes up, he goes to the flame, and we're going to pause right there. Because I watched, thanks to Will, a lot of reaction videos. And the two biggest names that I heard from those reaction people, and one of them came from me, was when they saw the flame, they thought Dark Souls or Master Hand. And I was one of the Master Hand people, because I thought, think about it. Think about the opening to Nintendo 64 Smash Brothers. What was it? It was Master Hand picking up all the toys and then getting them ready for battle. Like, that could have been a nice little tie-in to the originals. Like, it started with Master Hand, technically. And it ends with Master Hand. And then, like, Dark Souls, because, you know, that's a major franchise, and we did get Dark Souls remastered on Switch, and that was cool. But then, you know, Mario grabs the flame epically. Like, they put a lot of effort just into that shot of him grabbing the flame. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, and then, a great shot.
Yeah, and then the whole trailer is beautiful, if you really think about it. And then throwing it, like, what is it? Everyone's thinking, like, fire character. Like, what is this character? I even heard someone say it's Cinderace. You know, from Pokemon, which I'm glad it's not, obviously. We already have two fire Pokemon. We're good. We don't need three. Anyway, and then, of course, Keyblade. And the shot of the Mickey Mouse keychain. And cue the music, cue the light show, cue the keyhole, and our dear sleeping Sora pouring through the light, illuminating the darkness, flying through the air. He actually does a dab. If you pause it at the right moment, he does do a dab as he flies. And as he finally lowers down, grabs the key, the words say it all, Sora is finally here.
It was like, yeah, that trailer, like, once you see it in hindsight, it just screams total Kingdom Hearts references. Like,
yeah.
One is, like, when Mario, like, steps out, like, that first light path. I should have kind of guessed that was, like, very similar to Kingdom Hearts, especially in Kingdom Hearts 3, with that clearing path. And, of course, the nutter is that fire. I mean, sure, a lot of people were debated. They thought it was Dark Souls with the first flame and all that.
Yeah, campfires and all that.
Yeah, but, and of course, if you remember, like, one of the quote lines from Sora, like, there is this fire within me that refuses to burn out, a direct quote from Sora.
Ah.
So, yeah, just, it was so much references from that trailer, and as you said, the moment you see Mickey in a Nintendo game, like,
well,
that logo, not the characters, not the Mickey logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just like, yeah, everyone just lost their minds. And of course, Simple and Clean, the orchestral version,
yes,
was playing, and I was like, it was so emotional. Holy moly. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as familiar with Kingdom Hearts as you and Will are, so I can't dive into the details at all. I will say, from a surprise standpoint, seeing Sora come through, like seeing the Mickey logo, wasn't a shock, right? We've all, on this podcast, have said at some point that Sora,
yeah,
we've all predicted him. Everybody wanted Sora badly, which is why this reveal was so dang perfect. What caught me most about it, though, was just how honestly emotional the trailer was leading up to Sora's reveal. I think Sakurai, this doesn't get enough love in the Smash Bros. Series. The characters, like when the logo fades away and the characters deanimate and they go back to being trophies, I think that that's just such a beautiful idea, because it's the truth about gaming, right? These characters, they feel so real to us, but they're only real when, you know, we're interacting with them. They're alive in our imaginations, and they take on this new meaning through the Smash logo. And I think having the logo dissolve and have the characters go back to being dormant only to be revived by one last piece of magic was the perfect way to end what's really been a 7-year hype cycle.
Yeah. Like, even like some, like many of the fans themselves, like, this is not just simply a great game trailer. This is just a great trailer overall.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, even sort of better, like, even some cinema trailers that it can beat Heart many times over. Yeah.
Yeah. To continue on with the Kingdom Hearts references, you could argue that, you know, when the logo went out, darkness consumed them all. And darkness has always been, like, the enemy in Kingdom Hearts, and Sora has always been the light. You know, doesn't matter how much darkness there is, there's always going to be a light. And then Mario, like, hesitating with the flame, almost as if saying, will this be enough? Can I, you know, bring the light back? And Mario, of course, the first character, the original, bringing in the last one in Sora, and him shining the light and bringing everyone back into their animated forms was just beautiful. And then having the orchestral Simple and Clean playing in the background, it meant something, you know. I mean, and for those who know the song, you know the lyrics, you know, regardless of warnings, the future doesn't scare me at all. And there's a reason that song resonates with people, and even in the orchestral version, I cry every time. I watch that trailer, and I mean the extended trailer, which we'll get to in a sec.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I cry every time, because, like, the way the music plays as Sora's flying around and everyone's watching him, and, you know, he lands and gets the Keyblade, and then at the end, you know, I can't help but well up, because it's like, like Tyler said, we've all wanted Sora. Every one of us has wanted Sora.
It has been a long time coming. Yeah. Like, again, Kingdom Hearts resonated with so much. Again, back there in the PS2 era.
Yeah.
Like, and so many people, ever since Smash Bros. Was initially released, I mean, heck, even to the point, like, back, like, we wanted this thing.
Yeah.
Even Sakurai himself said during that poll.
Yeah. And that was actually, now we'll get into the Sakurai bit. First of all, again, what a troll when he said, what? I can't believe it either. Yes, you can, Sakurai. Yes, you can.
That part didn't totally ring true to me, because we all can believe it. Sakurai has worked so many miracles with Smash over the years that we've been spoiled to the point where I wasn't like, whoa. I was like, that was who we expected, but it's awesome.
Yeah, like I said, Sakurai is finally here. And that was actually a very curious thing that he mentioned, in that if you recall the Wii U 3DS gamer poll that we all did a long time ago, he noted that Sora was the number one character. Like, he won. But then you're like, well, why did we get Bayonetta? Well, Bayonetta was number one, I think, in the US, I think.
I think what he said was, and maybe he just was lying, to be honest with you, but I believe that Bayonetta, the verbiage he used to use was Bayonetta was the highest feasible character.
Yeah, that's true. And I was getting to that. But Sora was number one, but I'm guessing because of rights and everything.
It was a legal nightmare. Yeah. With Disney and everyone, it's a legal nightmare to try to get. It was a miracle. It's a legal nightmare.
So, and so that made sense. It's like they didn't want to tell us the top of the poll because they knew that everyone would be mad because Sora got number one, yet he wasn't going to be in the game. So, you know, they went with a feasible character, as Tyler pointed out, with Bayonetta. But now, all these years later, he got Sora. And you could just tell, like, the happiness of Sakurai that he got to put Sora in the game, and then, like, talking about all the, like, the costumes. Like, I love the costumes. Mm-hmm, we got KH1, 2, 3. We got all of the Brave transformations. We got the Timeless River. Like, that was a unique one.
Yes. Just like, when Sakurai more or less presented like that again, it was just kind of so coincidental that, again, that his company Sora would also bring in Sora at Kingdom Hearts. So it's just like kind
of a coincidence.
Full circle.
Totally a coincidence.
And as you said, like the way he just presented, like, introducing Kingdom Hearts into this game. And of course, like when mentioning of course, the late Iwata, like they both know, but again, as you said, they didn't want to disclose it because then people would just be clamoring over, like, bring in Sora.
Where is he?
But now with the miracle that is Daddy Sakurai and mentioned negotiating with Disney, of all, the pretty much, if arguably the king of entertainment media right now is like actually can manage to pull this off, is just like it was no less a legal miracle.
Yeah, and let's talk about that legal miracle, because some very eagle-eyed fans noticed that in a certain background of the Kingdom Hearts stage, there is a couple characters missing. So you might have recalled from us talking about Sora in previous Smash, topics, that I said I wanted the final Smash to be the Trinity attack, which is where Sora tag teams with Goofy and Donald to do a special attack, or Donald and Goofy could be assist trophies. In the Dive into Heart background screens, where they see all the characters and the ones that are close to them, Donald and Goofy are not there. They replaced them with the ship and the Starfruit, which is a nice substitute that is canon, so I do appreciate that. But clearly Disney's like, okay, you get this guy and no one else.
Exactly. Okay, we'll give you the logo on the keyblade, but that's it.
You're not gonna do anything else. That's all you got. Also, I didn't know that Sakurai was pretty sly in how he announced this. We didn't get any Disney songs. We got
obviously,
but we got the true Kingdom Hearts songs, the ones that were made for the game specifically and not anything associated with Disney in the overall sense of their world.
I mean, I'll give a props as well, like he included the Gummy Ship, which I actually enjoyed the Gummy Ship theme song now here and there. But like, let's also like while we're talking about songs, let's talk about like another song that kind of leaves me a little bit like, oh god, here's Sakurai shilling out for Square Enix. The fact that there is one more song you can get, but only if you have save data for Kingdom Hearts Memory.
Yes.
That's a troll move. I'm sorry. That's a troll move. And I know that I know that Nintendo and other, companies did that, but like, it did feel out of place. Like, oh, by the way, did you know that there is a Kingdom Hearts game on Switch? It's not a super important one, but if you get it, you get this extra track. Because
so
it's song-based.
I kind of, I don't mind that at all. I just remember, like, all the, I would get so much joy in old, like, in Mario Kart Wii, if you had a Galaxy save file, you would unlock Rosalina automatically. And I always loved that. So it's only one song. You can listen to it on YouTube.
And currently right now, it's actually, if you look on website right now, it's only $25 right now, Kingdom Hearts Memory of Melody, yeah.
So, yeah, so it's not much of a bad of a buy. So, we won't talk about we won't talk about, you know, the moveset, because, you know, you're gonna figure out yourself if you like the moveset.
He looks great. He does look great. Maybe not like the most broken character in the game, but I do love they did a great job with his magic. It's a unique, cool mechanic. His side B looked really great. You could attack, like, it was very Kingdom Hearts. The animation was perfect with the lock on, and always Sakurai nailed it with making this character true to his gaming world. I liked his jump too. He's very floaty. Like, it's super cool. They did a great job animating it, as always.
I'm just really surprised, again, like, as you said, he is the lightweight character, even more lightweight than Isabelle, which is like, wow, who would have thought a human would be so light?
Well, I think that's a reference to how, you know, he can fly and glide because of Peter Pan's magic.
Right.
But they can't save Peter Pan, because that's Disney.
But they could have the Mickey keychain on the thing.
That was the only exception.
I wonder how much that was. Like, how much they had a fight to get that.
Well,
because you could do it without it, and it would still be awesome. But something about the Mickey keychain makes it a little more special.
Well, it's because they almost had to have the Mickey keychain. I mean, they technically... Okay. Because of the size of the model, let's put it that way. Because of the size of the model, you could have gotten away with not having the Mickey keychain. But any Kingdom Hearts fan will tell you that every Keyblade has the keychain, because that's what transforms the Keyblade. So by showing the Mickey logo, that's their way of saying, yeah, Disney gave us permission. So I do appreciate them putting that there. Now, we actually do have a quote from everyone's favorite madman. No, not Kojima. He's already got his character. Tetsuya Nomura. He said, quote, "They were very thorough and did a great job responding to our frequent reviews and detailed requests. I think fans will be satisfied with how Sora has turned out, and I hope you all enjoy playing as him. To all of Mr. Sakurai's staff, thank you so much," end quote. So yeah, that's another thing. They clearly had to go through multiple revisions to make sure that Sora, you know, was Sora, played as Sora, but didn't infringe too much upon Disney properties. So, which also enforces why he was the last character, because it probably was a heck of a lot of work to get it just perfect.
I feel differently about this.
Really?
I tweeted this out. I think that they've had Sora up their sleeves. He was the number one character in that ballot. And in Smash Ultimate, Sakurai's number one goal has been to bring the most beloved characters to the game. I mean, almost everybody outside of Terry and Kazuya, who are fighting game characters, they've all been highly requested characters. And I think that they weren't sure mid-development whether they were going to do one or two DLC packs. I think that Byleth is the standout character here. And I believe that originally they planned to make Sora the final character of DLC 1. And they put Byleth in as a substitute. That's a pure speculation, but it just didn't make sense to end the first wave of DLC with another Fire Emblem character, especially because Sakurai has proven, as much as I love Byleth, he's one of my favorite DLC characters in the game, gameplay-wise, but Sakurai is so aware of what fans want from Smash, and he's been, in Ultimate especially, he's just given them everything, except for Waluigi. It's the one thing he won't give. But he's giving everything else. I agree. But he's giving everything else. He knew what the reaction would be for Sora, and he was saving him for the end, I think. Maybe. I could be completely wrong, but that's my theory.
And like, again, look how we have come so far. I mean, we first, the whole DLC pack was revealed, we had Joker of Persona 5, which no one expected that. And again, look at how far we've come from Joker to ending to Sora. It's just like, as Reggie Fils-Aimé said when he was still president, like, again, like, when Joker says this was only a taste of what is come over the DLC practices. And now seeing it as an overview right now with Kazuya, Byleth, Min-Min, everyone, Terry,
Banjo.
It's just like, yeah, Banjo, just all these characters. It's just like, I can definitely see what Reggie means. And I wonder if Reggie knew about this thing as well.
That's ooh, that's a good point, because he left at 2019.
I think
Right.
it was probably like
2019.
2018.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. Now, I do want to talk about two things that I've heard from the naysayers.
Okay.
Number one, oh, we have another sword user. First of all, that ain't a sword. That's a keyblade. Shut the heck up.
It's a sword in essence.
That's a
So
keyblade.
it is a keyblade, but it's mechanically it's a sword. Hey, you're right, by the way. So Reggie was April 15th, 2019.
There you go. So maybe he knew, maybe he didn't, who knows? So yeah, keyblade greater than sword. Period. Anyway, second of all, oh, but do we people really want this? Yes! Gosh dang idiots! And I'm gonna call out one of our own coworkers, and you know exactly who I'm gonna call out, ladies and gentlemen. After the Sora reveal, our coworker, who is not welcome on this podcast at any time, said, "Oh, Sora was revealed. I'm very disappointed." Shut up! Shut up!
Buzzkill, Captain Buzzkill.
Yeah, okay. And w the reason I bring this up is because of the reaction videos that both me and Will watched at length and ad nauseum. Just about everyone we saw, and Will even found a compilation reaction video, which was infinitely hilarious. Every single one started out the same way. Like, okay, here we go. Who's the trailer? Or who's the character? The trailer starts. I don't know who it is. Fire drops down. Dark Souls, Master Hand, Cinerace, you know, one, or sorry, not Incineroar, Cinderace. You know, so on and so forth. And then the moment the Keyblade showed up, they are losing their minds. They are screaming. They are crying. They are overcome with emotion. Oops, sorry, just drank a pop. We are overcome with emotion. And I'm not afraid to say that I was one of them. I was thinking, Master Hand, you know, he's going to come over and, you know, but then the moment the Keyblade showed up, I screamed three octaves higher. It's a gift. And I was just, and then Sora came floating through in his, you know, his birth by sleep state. Oh, see what I did there, Will? I was overcome. And then, like I said, when we got the extended trailer, which again we'll get to in a sec, I cry every time.
Same here. Same here.
We love this character. We love this franchise. And even a former guest host, Daisy Delilah, was like, "Oh my gosh, it's Sora! We finally got Sora." She's not clearly not the biggest Kingdom Hearts fan. She wasn't super overcome, but she was just like, she appreciated it because she knew that there are so many out there who the Kingdom Hearts franchise has touched, and a lot of them are Nintendo fans. And we wanted this so badly, and to see all these reactions and the scream, one guy fell out of his chair
Yes.
in excitement. You know, that's how much this means. So if you don't like it, sure, fine, be that way. Don't ruin this for the rest of us. Sora is finally here, and we're freaking happy.
I don't mind people who are disappointed. I think that it's I don't agree with that perspective. I agree with you guys in that I again haven't played Kingdom Hearts much, but I understand what Sora means. He's the number one requested character. For me, what was so emotional was the fact that it was the perfect way to end this journey. I mean, I'm 100. There will be another Smash. Smash is one of Nintendo's biggest franchises. Who knows if Sakurai will make it? My money says he probably will. But as a, you know, 27, I'm 27 to pull back the curtain here, and I remember playing 64 and seeing the Master Hand pull Mario out and drop him on the desk and animate him, and to the whole beginning of the trailer. It was very. You alluded to this, Todd, in the beginning when you said he shows the Mii costumes first, because Sakurai is a showman. He understands how to elicit a reaction from this fan base, and to incorporate the idea of the characters being trophies and the magic of the Smash Ball and the magic of Sora. That is what got me just to think about 20 years of my life that I've spent loving Super Smash Bros. And playing it all the time, and how many friends I've made through the game along the way. I mean,
Yeah.
it was the way I interacted with people in college. I made lifelong friends through this game, and Sakurai understood that, and he understood the magic behind it. When I think of Sora, I think of magic, and that's why that was where my emotion came from. Now, I wasn't, "Oh, Sora, boo-hoo," but I was completely overwhelmed with emotion of just the symbolism of it all. Honestly, it sounds ridiculous to say about a video game trailer, but that really is, for people like us who love this stuff, it was just so, it was completely emotional and beautifully handled.
No, you're absolutely right on the symbolism, and I'll talk about two screenshots that I took to prove it. There's a shot in the trailer, and I'm looking at the extended trailer right now. There's a shot at about 150, and all the Smash characters are looking up in the sky, and there's like bright lights all around, and Sora's just floating there. And I put on Twitter, live shot of all the Smash Brothers fans looking up and seeing Sora on their screens. That's the shot. It's like, we've wondered, is he ever going to show up? And that shot of all the characters seeing, here's our final piece. This is who we've been missing, and he's here. That's symbolism. And then if you go to the end of the extended trailer, the final shot before the logo comes back up is a shot of Mario and Sora shaking hands, and everyone in the background is cheering. That's symbolism, because that's the first character in Mario, the last character in Sora. Everyone is here. They're here. Finally, everyone is here. It's a beautiful thing.
Yep, that it is. Yeah. Just like recalling all those reactions, just from Roger Bates, from Mighty Keith, to it, just all these people just skink. As Tyler said it best, it's just like, this is the character to really end the Smash Bros. Ultimate Saga. Like, we've been here for so long, and what better way to end it off than with Sora, one of the original crossover characters to date.
Yeah.
And it kind of just reminded me of our conversations a while back, Todd. Like, again, like, if it was Sephiroth, it would have been kind of an interesting story there as well. But yeah, if it was Katya, then Sephiroth, then Sora, then who knows, maybe it would have been different.
Yeah. I like that you said that, Will. I put a lot of thought into that too, because, you know, we've talked about one of Todd's predictions at the beginning of this year. And
you mean the prediction that I got right?
I would agree that I've decided that it's definitely right.
Thank you.
But when I just see the two names, Sora and Sephiroth, to me, I think Sephiroth is the cooler announcement. I felt like his trailer Sora's trailer is perfect. But Sephiroth's trailer was equally as perfect.
I agree with that. The music, Tensity,
the villain's theme in Smash. Sephiroth could have been, my first thought was Sephiroth could have been the final reveal and it would have been just as good. I thought about it again and I don't think it would have been just as good. I think that Sora, for the reasons I've said earlier, Sephiroth adds it ends on an intense note. Smash is a celebration of gaming. Sora is just the perfect celebratory character. He is, I don't know if he's more critical to gaming culture than Sephiroth is, but he's certainly more positive and more magical. And that's the word I keep coming back to. And I think that's why he's the perfect final choice. And Sephiroth, even Banjo, there's no other character who would have been as good of a last pick.
I'll put it to you this way. I think you'll agree with it. Sephiroth's impact is because of his villainous nature. He is always the antithesis to Cloud. He will never be a memory. And he's that big bad you always think of. Sora is the character that we all enjoy playing. And his journey, even through the chaos of Kingdom Hearts 3, is uplifting, is magical, as you said, and is something we can connect to. To the extent where he is so popular because of who he is. And we don't just think like, oh yeah, he's a great boss character. We go, that's Sora. That's why we love him. So
yeah, completely agree.
There you go. And for those of you who don't remember that comment I made, Sephiroth was announced at the last Game Awards. And so for the Nintendo Draft, I said, we had three characters left at the time. I said that one of these characters has to be bigger than Sephiroth. And we got Pirate Mithra, who admittedly was not. Kazuya, who's definitely not. And now we have Sora. So I get a draft point. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to win the draft. Victory is mine. So, but yeah, this trailer, and we're going to wrap up on this before we get to the next topic. It's just, there's so many Easter eggs. There's so many references to all the Kingdom Hearts franchises from like the final scenes of him going through all the world. The fight with Sephiroth is actually
Yes.
a total reference to Kingdom Hearts 2, and they like went in depth with how the battle went, which is hilariously awesome.
I just want to point out right now, Nintendo managed to put in a Sephiroth battle before that outdid Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
I just want to point that out. Like, they did a Sephiroth battle with Sora, then Kingdom Hearts 3 themselves. Like, what the hell?
I saw the perfect meme. It was Kingdom Hearts 3 doesn't do a Sora versus Sephiroth battle. Sakurai, fine, I'll do it myself. The name with the Thanos. There were so many memes. Like, I saw one of the Inkling, like, still looking at the logo, and she goes, "Mr. Sakurai, does this mean I can now stop looking at this logo?" And he goes, "Wait, you've been looking at it this whole time?" Because she has, if you think about it, end of the first trailer, end of this trailer, she's still there. But yeah, this was a really good trailer. Sora is here. Or sorry, Sora will be here. We gotta wait a little bit longer. He will be arriving on October 18th, and yeah, we
Yeah,
got him.
and just want to say as well, like as I said, like that extended trailer showing all the, like the Easter eggs,
Yeah.
recreation scenes from the original game, like that Sephiroth battle, and of course, naturally at that end, flying with all between the worlds, reference to Sora, and of course that final shot of
Yeah.
him and Mario shaking hands, like that was wallpaper material right
With the
there.
Smash logo
Yeah.
burning bright in the
Yeah,
background.
because
That was
light had
great.
been restored. I kid you not, guys. This is breaking kayfabe. When I saw that shot, I was like, I gotta take a picture of it. So I instantly like minimized the thing and I took a screenshot of it. And I thought, I am gonna be so clever because I think this is a really cool shot. And I used it for the announcement we're gonna be talking about. And I go to put it on Twitter, and like three different people had already posted about it. I'm like, dang it! I guess I wasn't the only one who realized how cool this was. Because it's a really cool shot, and I'm like, okay, this is a perfect shot to talk about, and like everyone's already posting, like Reggie posted it with "Thank you, Sakurai," you know, and it's a beautiful shot. Like that is Super Smash Brothers in a nutshell, right there. So, all right, before we talk about our overview of Ultimate as a whole, we need to talk about that other piece of news that just so happened to be dropped in
Oh,
the
yeah. Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
And I didn't see this coming. I also didn't see Joker coming, but we all know that. We're gonna get it. We're getting Kingdom Hearts on Switch. Yes, we are. Mr. Sakurai himself revealed before Square Enix that the remixes of the first, how do you want to call it, the first couple bundles of the Kingdom
Yes,
Hearts games,
yes.
the final remixes of the games plus Kingdom Hearts 3 are going to be coming to Switch as cloud versions. Now, I know that's not exactly what we all wanted, but we're getting the games. I'll give them the pass. Okay.
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed that for three, I get it. But for the first two, I feel like it's an odd missed opportunity. These games ran on the PlayStation 2. They can definitely run on the Switch. I know that there are remixed versions that came out on different consoles. One of them, I think, was on 3DS, they said. There should be a
Well,
physical version
one
for
of the
the movies.
original games was on 3DS, and then they gave like the graphical upgrades to
Yeah,
all the
like Dream Drop
consoles.
Distance. Yeah,
It
Dream Drop
seems odd
Distance.
though. Like I'm not opposed to it, and I might even check it out just to. I wanted to try the cloud stuff to begin with, but it just feels like there is clearly an audience for Kingdom Hearts games on Switch.
Oh,
Like
they are.
they should have seen the reactions
Yeah.
to Sora. Like this was worth it, taking the
Yeah.
time to actually build from the ground up if need be.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But on the other hand, I've been asking for this for like how long
Right, you
exactly?
have been asking for so long, Todd.
Yeah. I mean, it literally ranks Kingdom Hearts on Switch, Persona 5 on Switch, and that's it. Like that's the list. So, we do not have any other details per se. Square Enix did drop, sorry, the Kingdom Hearts Twitter account did drop a 20th anniversary trailer for this, noting that the games would be coming on Switch. We do not have a release date as of yet, but the fact that it is coming is good. If it runs well, I'm totally gonna get it. If for no other reason, then I want to play Kingdom Hearts on Switch because I just do. So, but yeah.
Like, as far as, like, I mean, I have played and finished up Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, I wonder if they also I think they also kind of said if they're going to include the Remind DLC for Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm not sure.
But I think so.
Because I did say, like, the subtext, like, yeah, like, the HD and then this Remind, I think. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see, like, how this thing's going to run. Again, we had previous cloud games on the Switch with some mixed results. So I do wonder how Square Enix is going to pull this one off. So it'll be definitely interesting to see, to say the least.
But the fact that they did this during the presents, like, showed that Square Enix once again was willing to commit to the Switch in at least some way. So we'll just have to see how it all plays out. But I'm hopeful, you know. We got to believe in the light. So all right, and now we are going to look now, since the game is done. Okay, let me put it this way. 99.5% done because Sora's not technically here yet, okay? But he's coming. We know he's coming. He's going to be here in 12 days. He's going to be here. Anyway, what are our personal feelings about Ultimate as a whole? From the announcement, the original announcement with the Inkling trailer, to, you know, the fear, because we all had that fear about whether this would be a new game or a remake, to the two DLC packs, to who was in the DLC, to who was in the main game, to everyone is here, and finally to Sora. What are our personal feelings about how Nintendo and Sakurai handled Ultimate as a whole? Tyler, I want to start with you. Oh, really? Is that how you feel, Tyler? No, that's an interesting point, Tyler. I totally agree with you.
I guess he's away from keyboard right now, currently.
Apparently! So sad. So, okay, I guess we'll start off with Will, and then when Tyler comes in, we'll shut him up. So, go ahead, Will.
So, yeah, just this entire journey from the original reveal, like, to think it has been so long, I mean, even if you're following since the original N64 game to now, or just what following of Ultimate, it's just, like, the way this game is just, again, many people pretty much call it correctly, is a celebration of gaming. That from the initial trailer, like, oh, who's going to be coming back after a Wii U 3DS version? And again, we see, confirm Inkling is coming back. Yeah, we see Inkling, and we thought it was going to be another Splatoon game, which later on will be. But then we see that logo, just that teaser. It was just a teaser, and it set everybody ablaze. And
ablaze, Will? Ablaze.
Yes. And it was just downhill from there. Like, and of course, like, all these years from people who are known in the Nintendo community celebrating each and every single character reveal of course, there's naturally has been some pitfalls, like with the internet online structure and all that, with the whole multiplayer. I mean, that's itself its own criticism.
Yeah.
But everything itself, like, and to some extent, World of Light as well. I mean, sure, it was a single player. It wasn't Subway Emissary, but it was decent enough, to say the least.
I liked it. I mean, it was hard at times, sure. I mean, was it the most comprehensive thing ever? No, but I liked it. And hey, they did the Avengers Endgame thing, but just killed everybody. Right. Everyone is here, everyone is dead.
Right. And yeah, it's like, once, obviously, when you finish up a World of Light, and of course, we're just waiting for DLCs or extra content, like, or even with, like, the spirit boards, like, yeah, DLC spirits, whenever, play whatever you want, like, that thing was very happy. I mean, heck, even though, like, yeah, for my character, Travis Touchdown not being in this game, I mean, he is still is a main character and as a spirit, so I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, I just, like, replayed that spirit event and getting more Travis Touchdown spirits is like, okay, at least, like, Sakurai and Suda51 did talk and, like, okay, you get a Mii costume, but that's it. Which, I'll take it. And that first initial DLC review, when the game initially released it back during that December, which I was waiting on that online and Nintendo NY, is just, like, it was just magical. Afterwards, like, Joker, I lost in my mind.
I know.
I still remember the podcast, like I was, like, making jokes of it during that night, and each review afterwards, of course, Hero, like, Banjo-Kazooie, Terry, Bylove, Min Min, yeah, just, and of course, like, Sephiroth also just, like, blew everyone's minds,
yeah.
And then, of course, with Kazuya, Minecraft Steve, which you hate, I know.
I know.
And of course, Kazuya, and then now ending up with Sora is just like this entire journey with Sakurai is like, yeah, it was demanding, and of course, we fans can't be ungrateful to him and everyone else and development team, but just like seeing like everyone's reactions to these trailers, each and everyone, like with be if you don't like the Byleth or just celebrating ecstatically with Sephiroth, it's just like it was a time of wonder. It was a time of wonder, like as I said, anybody can be in this game.
Yeah,
and of course, like the Mii costumes was pretty much a pinnacle. Again, we had Shantae, which a lot of people wanted that. We had like Team Rocket. We had Doomslayer. We have like all these different characters that could have been the game, but unfortunately, just couldn't be done. But who knows? Maybe there'll be some hope down the line in the future. And just how this entire journey with Ultimate Smash Bros. Ultimate and Daddy Sakurai has made is just. The overall experience is just you can't. There won't be anything like it at all. Like I could eat, and many people also said themselves in their own videos. Like I'm gonna tell my kids if I ever have any offspring or generations that this is the game. Like, do you have a game that allows Joker from Persona 5 to face off against Sora or Solid Snake to face off against Sephiroth? It's like this will be a game that will stand the test of time, if anything else, and that. There won't be anything like it, as Sakurai said. If there won't be, there's no way in heck that you're gonna replicate this kind of game ever again. Sure, you may try. I mean, look at Nickelodeon's All Stars and all that, but this is just there. It's going to only show like how Sakurai's Project Sword and Nintendo Magical put this entire project together. Ever since how it was a birth idea from Sakurai and Iwata. So overall, this entire experience with Ultimate is just like. You really can't describe it and really put a grade on it. It's timeless. You really can't say it's like it's just that amazing. And now this journey is just about done with Sora. It's like again the perfect swan song, if anything else to say it. So overall, you really can't describe it. It's just that amazing. It's just that amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a Smash fan since the original, and I loved it at Melee. I was in love with Brawl because it had Ike, but also had Sonic and Snake in it. Then Wii U and 3DS came out, and you know I liked having it portable as well as on my console, and it was a lot of fun. And then the trailer for Ultimate debuted, and I was just like, I remember the fear I had because we saw that you know Link was there in his Breath of the Wild form, but based on everything the Switch had shown at the moment, was this going to be a port? Because they've been porting every Wii U game that was significant or giving a quick sequel like with Splatoon 2. And then they announced everyone is here. Everyone is here. And we're like, okay, this is something new. This is something special. And then remember the first true reveal was Ridley. A character that we've been asking for so long. And everyone said, including Sakurai, you know, he might just be too big to put in Smash Brothers. But life finds a way. And he said that, hey, you know, because of the size of the roster, we're not going to be putting in, you know, that many new characters. And we're like, okay. But then he kept showing us new characters. We got Simon and Richter Belmont.
Yep.
We got Isabel, which, I'll be honest, I wasn't the biggest Isabel fan, but, you know, I know Animal Crossing deserves some more representation. And it kept going. And it was like, you know, who's next? Who's last? And then at the Game Awards, they announced, hey, we're going to do the DLC, and here's Joker, because we can. And even though we didn't get Persona 5 on Switch, which I forever rage against. But the fact that we got him was meaningful. And again, I put that on par with getting Sonic and Snake because it was characters that we had kind of wondered if they could ever get into Smash Brothers, but we never really thought they would. And we got them. And then as the DLC came out, the hype was overwhelming in the worst way possible.
Sure. I'll give you that. Yeah,
because every time it's just like, oh, here's a new rumor. Oh, here's a new rumor. And the Grinch leak, which I can't make fun of Tyler of because he's currently trying to fix his microphone. And, you know, like, oh, it's going to be these characters. Oh, it's going to be these characters. And then, you know, we got the great characters like with Byleth or Min Min and Pirate Mithra. and even Terry and Kazuya to a certain extent. Then we got the bad character in Minecraft Steve, who I'll never ever forgive. I'm sorry. I'm going to be doing a list more than likely of, I'm going to rank every DLC character that's ever been in Smash Brothers. Every single one. Minecraft Steve is going to be on the bottom. You can hate me all you want. All right? I will never forgive that choice. But they rebounded. They gave us Sephiroth. And now we have Sora. And I wrote a long time ago, I believe this was during the Wii U era. I wrote a piece for a website called Falling the Nerd. And I said that Smash Brothers was a example of celebrating gaming generations. Because at the time of when I wrote it, we had just gotten Pac-Man, who was, of course, like one of the original OG icons of the gaming world. And so we had Mario, Sonic, Mega Man, Pac-Man in one game, and then every other character that you could think of from a meaningful generation, they were all there. Everyone was there, or so we thought. And now with this game, with truly having it be everyone is here, you just can't help but smile. And yes, I was totally someone who said, oh, they had 89 characters. Why couldn't they have done 90? You know, nice round number, you know, give us something, you know, but it didn't bother me because we got 89 characters that represent gaming, period. From Mr. Game & Watch with the Hyoji handhelds from Gunpa Yokoi to Sora, you know, the modern creation from Square Enix that basically helped change gaming for the better in certain ways.
Yeah.
And you hear, and we all know the stories about, you know, Sakurai and him putting literally everything he had into this, including apparently working with an actual IV in his arm. Like, take a break, Daddy Sakurai. You deserve it, all right? But he pushed through. He pushed through, and he did it. He made this game that can be duplicated to a certain extent, like we've seen with the PlayStation All-Stars and now the Nickelodeon game. But it's never going to be replicated. Because what is done here cannot be done on Sony, cannot be done with Microsoft, cannot be done with another brand. Not to the extent that Sakurai has done it, with every character having such detail and love put into it, and made by a man. No, a god. Okay, demigod. Let's be fair. Demigod. A demigod who clearly loves gaming with all he has. You're never going to get this again. You could have games that have that kind of love put into it, but not to the level that Sakurai has done for Ultimate, from Mario to Sora. Isn't that right, Tyler?
I believe that's right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. See, we'll laugh before I could do the joke, but yes, we can hear you, Tyler.
Okay, good. Okay. I have no idea what's happening. My microphone claims to be working, but then it's not working in TeamSpeak. Anyway,
yes.
I think you nailed it, Todd.
Thank you. But now it's your turn. Because I was talking for so long just because I was waiting for Tyler to get back. Because clearly I don't like to talk at all, clearly.
Right.
That's why I'm the host. So, but Tyler, please, your overview feelings on Ultimate.
Yes, I think that this is clearly the best Smash game of all time from a gameplay perspective, from obviously a roster perspective, and also just from the sheer amount of content packed into the game. I wish that there was a Subspace Emissary-styled mode. But I'm able to put that aside. For me, Smash is all about multiplayer, playing with friends, both casually and competitively. I think from a DLC standpoint, I actually sympathize a little bit with the people who think there are too many sword fighters. I believe there are 5 sword fighters who were DLC, and you know that they all do they play differently enough, but it's still that kind of same feeling. They're all using swords. They're all trying to keep people at bay. They're all zoner style characters, I suppose. But that aside, I think the DLC picks were fantastic as well. I don't think I'd ever like to see another fighting game character added to the mix. People complain about the sword fighters. My thing is for me, Kazuya is easily the worst DLC character they've added. Terry is not far behind him. We've already got the Ken and Ryu.
Make sure you don't tell Harada that.
Yeah, I know that some people love their fighting games, and that really moved the meter for them. I feel like if you pulled the average player, they would agree with my stance on that. I vaguely knew who Terry was before Smash got announced, and I would define myself as a hardcore gamer, as gaming has been a part of my life since I was born. And Kazi is another one who I would never have been able to tell you his name if I saw a picture of him, compared to, they could have put Heihachi in, or they could have put the bear in, or the kangaroo in. Those would have been fun. But regardless, Sakurai just, he nailed it. I mean, he really, I'm sure that some people are bummed that their favorite character didn't get in, and there's always next time for that. He's left plenty of room to fill out the roster, but I have nothing but love for Ultimate. Even the online play, which is notoriously spotty for Switch, if you have an Ethernet connector, I think it works quite well, and it's perfectly serviceable to have a great time just playing with random strangers online. But no Smash game has packed more. No Smash game has packed more content than Ultimate, and we'll never see anything like this again. The Undertaking, it is the logical conclusion of what Sakurai started all those years ago with Smash 64, and really in Brawl, where the series started to expand.
Yeah, one of my favorite stats that Sakurai showed, I think at the end, was like over 400 gaming franchises were represented in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Yeah, like 450 gaming franchises. That's insane. Games. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the love that he... And he didn't have to do that. He could just focus on, you know, the ones we know and everything. But he's like, no, I wanna bring as many franchises as I can. And he did. Because he loves this. He loves this stuff. You know? It's what he does. And we're grateful. So thank you, Sakurai. Thank you. So, and now, as reasonable men, reasonable kings of Nintendo and Dire, let's go and complain about who we didn't get and who we should get next time. Because as fans, no, we're not going to complain, but as Tyler said, it's highly likely, especially with the success of Ultimate as a whole, the best-selling fighting game of all time, and now the best-selling fighting game franchise of all time over Street Fighter, it's more than likely we are going to get one more Smash Brothers game, if not more. So it won't be the size of Ultimate, more than likely, and that's fine. There was a lot of work to put into it, but that there are still spots that can be filled and should be filled. So we're going to do a kind of mini draft here. We're not going to do the song or whatever, and we're not going to do a snake draft or whatever, but we're each going to take turns talking about characters we feel should be in Smash Brothers first party and third party. And I'm going to help keep this condensed, two first party characters and two third party characters, if you can think of them. Okay?
No problem.
So I'll go first. First party, you know, it's funny that we have to keep thinking about first party, because you'd feel that by Ultimate we'd have everyone. You know, everyone is here.
There are a lot of good picks still there, though.
There are. And I'll go with the obvious one, the one that honestly has been a highly requested character since Brawl, I do believe. Isaac from Golden Sun. Golden Sun is one of the most beloved franchises, or sorry, hold on, I gotta revise that statement. Most beloved cult classic franchises.
Yes, yeah.
I gotta be fair. Cult classic franchises in Nintendo history. And Nintendo has done lesser franchises or lesser known franchises in Smash Brothers, like say with Fatal Fury or the Mr. Game & Watch games. And, you know, this guy named Mario. I mean, who's heard of him? I'm a Sonic fanboy, obviously. Aren't we all? So, you know, having Isaac in Golden Sun in there, he's been an assist trophy. And yes, he is a sword user, but he's also a magic user, not unlike Sora. And he can use his Jin to do special attacks. So they can make it less sword focused and more, you know, RPG-esque focused. And I think there's a lot of potential in that. The other first party character I'm going to go with, I know this is going to sound a little weird at first, so bear with me. There was a poll during the Brawl era about who was going to be who is the most requested character, and the number one pick was Crystal from Star Fox, because at this time we had seen her with her staff in Star Fox Adventures. And I think that'd be kind of fun because right now Star Fox is only represented by Fox and Falco, and Falco's a clone. Like, yes, he does have some different moves, but for the most part, he is a clone. And Crystal, especially they give her staff from the original from her Adventures game, would be a fun character. And honoring the poll results, because they honored the poll results with Bayonetta and Sora, so why not honor the original poll with Crystal? So that would give, Star Fox some more, bandwidth, and maybe even help spur on a new game, which we should totally get. And they could do a totally different moveset because she doesn't use the typical stuff. Yes, she does have her own art wing, but they don't need to use it. Heck, they could bring in what some of the dinosaurs as some of her as her final smash,
Yeah, like bringing back Tricky. Yeah, bring
Tricky.
back Tricky.
I kept saying like Trippy or Three or something like Tricky. That's it. So yeah, they have the ability to do that with Crystal and make her special, and again help flesh out the roster for Fox without having to do another clone. For third-party characters, I'm gonna pick one from Tyler's side of the from the gaming world. Either this is one pick in general, either Knuckles or Tails. Because if you really think about it, it's kind of weird that we haven't gotten another suck. Sorry, there's a spider right in front of me. We haven't gotten another Sonic character, even though obviously, sorry. Yeah, I think I got
I'm imagining a mutilated
Oh,
Spider-Man.
it's yeah, it's. I just hate it when they like just they literally like drop right in front of me, and I'm like, really, really. Anyway, dead spider aside, it's honestly kind of weird to me that we haven't gotten another Sonic character because, not so ironically, most of the characters are different from one another in movesets, especially when you think of the main three of Sonic, Knuckles, and Tails. Knuckles is the powerhouse. Tails has the tech and Sonic has the speed. So, given their popularity, especially now with the Sonic movie and the sequel coming out soon, and the new game coming out in 2022 that we don't know much about, that's a lot of potential to, bring in these characters, have a different moveset, have a totally non-clone character, and, show more appreciation for the Sonic franchise as a whole. My other third-party character, you know who it is. It's Shantae. All right. I was not a Shantae fan until I got Half Genie Hero on the Wii U. It became one of my favorite games ever. I got the Seven Sirens. It wasn't as good, but I still liked it. And her moveset would be totally unique to Smash Brothers with her dancing, with her transformations, with her hair whip. She'd be the only other character to use hair outside of a Bayonetta, obviously. And I just think that would be a lot of fun. And that's the thing is like, and Shantae, in many ways, has only existed on Nintendo systems. She's only branched out into the other systems in the last two games. Every other game has basically been on Nintendo platforms, from the Game Boy to the DSi, and so on and so forth. And it was and Half Genie Hero was only supposed to be for Wii U, and then expanded for every other consoles via the Kickstarter. So why not bring her in? She was a highly requested character alongside Shovel Knight, who I also think would be a good fit. You put her on as a Mii costume. Now let's just take the next step. Take the next step. Make her a full-time character. So yeah, so my to recap, Isaac from Golden Sun, Crystal from Star Fox, Knuckles or Tails from Sonic, and Shantae from, well, Shantae. All right, Will?
I was kind of like still brainstorming there while you were still talking, honestly.
Fine, Tyler.
Yes, I've got mine ready to roll. So my first one is from the Donkey Kong franchise. Cranky Kong would be awesome. He would be really fun. I think most people would like him. I think that one of Smash's few failures, of the one of the few failures of Ultimate, is a lack of female representation. I hate to be that guy. Bring, I
No,
guess
be that
some
guy.
would call
Do
it
it.
political. I don't think it is, but I feel they should have done a better job of filling out the roster with female characters. I think Dixie Kong would be an awesome addition. DK only having It's a major Nintendo franchise, and it's only got three characters representing the series. I think that you could come up with a great moveset for her. You could all—I mean, the DK crew is filled with characters. It doesn't even have to be only Dixie. You could do a Tiny Kong, you could do a Chunky Kong, you could do Cranky, like I mentioned. But I would like to see them get some more love. I would also love to see Zelda get more representation. It's baffling to me. Legend of Zelda only has a couple of versions of Link, Zelda, and Ganondorf. It's hard to pick a character from this franchise
Minna,
because
Minna, Minna,
oh,
Minna.
right, Minna would be great, but she's only in one game. And the same thing goes for, like, Gruus. The same thing goes for the champions that are there in Age of Calamity also. So it's difficult. And I Tetra has always been my default, but then you have two versions of Zelda, three versions of Link, and one version of Ganondorf. We should go with a fresh character. So I think either you go with Skull Kid, because he would have a unique moveset given his magic, and his final smash is pretty obvious. Or you could go with Urbosa, one of the champions. I think she would be really fun. She's a sword user, so that's one drawback. But she's so aggressive, and her blade is like a cutlass, I guess. It's kind of a different type of sword. I think that she would...
And she wields freaking lightning!
Yeah, oh yeah, she has a moveset. All the champions do, really. You could do Daruk, Mipha, or
Rebellion. Yeah.
That would be great. So I'll go with Urbosa just for the point of our current stance. And then the third-party characters, I am also headed to the Sonic the Hedgehog territory. I think that Dr. Eggman should be in. I would have loved for him to be the last character. I'm not surprised that he wasn't, but I think he would have been a really good pick. He's got another character who's kind of complicated to make a moveset with, because when you fight him in Sonic, he's always changing what machine he's in. Like he doesn't really fight hand-to-hand. He's always in some sort of mech. But you could give him a Sonic Adventure 2 mech and do a moveset all around that. He's got the punching glove there. He's got all sorts of different missiles. And you can make him more of a projectile character while mixing in some attachments from his other signature weapons. You make his dash attack, he turns into his first boss encounter in Sonic 2. So I think there's a good moveset there for him. And we talked about this last week. It would never happen. I truly think James Bond would be awesome. This is just a pure wish list. I know this will never happen, but just picturing, I think, I know they only do pure video game characters, but James Bond, the GoldenEye impact on gaming is huge. Like I mentioned last week, I think it's one of the 10 most influential games in gaming history. I think that James Bond would be really, really fun. It would be wacky, but nothing Injustice, you know, Injustice does crazy things all the time, bringing in Freddy Krueger. So, and Mortal Kombat does the same stuff. So I think that you could theoretically pull it off, and it would be really cool.
Interesting.
I mean, like, it would be interesting to have, like, a real, like, fictional character like James Bond in this franchise. But again, he was the one that pretty much revolutionized shooters, so sure, would be an interesting choice. Yeah.
All right, Will. Time's up.
All right. So I was kind of really like racking my brain. Who would be like the first two first party characters? And like, I guess this probably would be the easiest cop out, unfortunately. But like, I guess with all these games, with all these times, like, I think it's about time we finally bring this guy into the fold, because I think he deserves it finally. Waluigi. yes.
I hate you, Will. Like, why? Why capitulate? Like,
I mean, Waluigi has been so mean to the point. He has, like, please, why the heck is a plant getting back before me? But, I don't know, like, maybe it's, like, because of that, like, the tragic antagonist that, like, maybe he deserves a bone here and there. Like, we have Wario. We have the main Mario Brothers. I mean, might as well bring in the foliage. Why make a full set? Why not? And the next one, this one's a bit more of an oddball character, to say the least. So, you know how it is back on the Wii U and 3DS times when we initially reviewed with a Ring Fit Trainer? Like, that
Wii
was
Fit
just,
Trainer?
Yeah, Wii Fit Trainer. Yeah. Wii Fit Trainer. And it's like, okay, out of nowhere. And I think if you, I pretty much just kind of spoiled it there, but why not bring in Ring Fit Trainer, I'm thinking. Maybe it's too much of because we're done with the whole exercise theme with Ring Wii Fit Trainer, but now with the success of the Switch, or who knows, maybe the next console generation down the line, that we could get the ringed or the avatar trainer in this game. So something a bit more developed, more than the Wii, than the usual standard Mii characters. So I don't know. I know it's an oppa pick, but I think the Ring Fit Trainer would actually be an interesting choice. But again, it's a crazy choice.
All right.
And my third party, I'm just gonna go like go again, hoping to the skies, and I'll risk getting burned. Like, we had Travis Touch as a main character. Why not have Travis Touchdown as a freaking character as well? Itself. Like, I know. Like the fact that again that Suda51 made a literal Smash Brothers joke in his own game. He like made a separate level. It was perfect for the next Smash game. You got the layout. You got everything. You got the moves now. All you just need to do is put it in an official Smash Brothers game.
There.
So, I mean, you saw that on the trailer with that Smash Brothers thing, right?
I did.
So, like, yeah, I think it's just like, yeah, might as well do it right now. It's perfect. So, hey,
if you recall, I was the one who did that April Fool's joke about having Travis in the game. I would not have done that if I didn't feel that Travis didn't deserve to be in Smash Brothers. So, and yes, he is a sword user, but, you know, with his wrestling moves and energy attacks, and now his mech form, apparently.
Yeah,
he's got a lot that could be used, so I'm fine with him.
So, yeah, Travis Touchdown. So, yeah, that'll be it. So, Waluigi, Ring Fit Trainer, and Travis Touchdown.
You need two third-party characters.
One more third-party? Okay, we would've got Joker, we would've got Ted. See, who else would be a good third-party character? Shoot. Who else do I want to be? Crap. Like, the top of my mind right now, like, I didn't say it so, but, like, obviously, the running joke of this podcast, Skies of Arcadia.
Oh, God.
I mean, I would definitely love to see Vice if they decide to revive that franchise again, if anything else. Or, heck, even, I don't know, with a third-party character with, like, I don't know, another Atlas property. Like, I would be very surprised if they bring in Super Monkey Ball in this game. So, I guess, as another third-party choice, it's just, I don't know, there's just so many characters I would like to see in this game, but for part of my base desires, but if anything else, and no, I'm not choosing Sayu and Kagura to watch that, but that would be interesting.
Thank God.
Because I guess we could say, like, yeah, since Sakurai does have a love for King of Fighters, I mean, heck, might as well bring in My Shiro Inoue. I will hope for the god to up there to bring in My Shiro Inoue. No, it's just for good little boys and girls, but no, we had Bayonetta. What about bringing Chun Li or any of the female representation?
Chun Li, I'd be fine with. I think Mai is a little too suggestive, especially for a Nintendo game. Chun Li would be a good pick because, you know, with her kicking attack, that would be her totally different. You know, spinning bird kick. Big fan of Chun-Li.
Yeah, we have Ryu and Ken, so yeah, sure. And we do have Guile as well, so yeah, technically.
Wait, so. Is Guile is his trophy?
Yeah, Guile's an assist trophy.
It's been a while, I forgot. But no, I think Chun-Li over Mai, okay? I'm just saying. I could make so many jokes about you right now, Will, but I will not, because you recovered and said Chun-Li. So as you can see, and these are just like some of the characters. There are others that I would love to have in the game. Both first and third party. Like, I can't believe I forgot about Midna. I did. I forgot about Midna because I was just trying to be, you know, who might actually get in. But I totally want Midna in there. I'd also love Riku now that we have Sora. You know, why not double dip? Let's go twice in Kingdom Hearts. And you don't have to worry about the Disney stuff because Riku is 100% original with no Mickey Mouse keychain or something like that. But, you know, there's a lot of characters that could get into the game. It's just a question of will they make another one? And if so, when? So. Regardless of that, though, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, as we noted, is a fantastic game. I can't wait for Sora to come out because I will buy the DLC pack, and then I will probably after I get done with Dread, obviously. But I will be playing it, and I have no doubt I'll be fighting Will and Tyler again, and I'll be losing to Tyler again and again and again and again. I don't think I've ever beaten him outside of a triple threat match. That's just the truth, and I was very confident in my Smash Brothers skills, and then I met Tyler. So
that's what they all say.
And yet, I'm the only one here who's won a Smash Brothers tournament. I'm just
that's
saying.
That's not true. I've won.
Oh, you have?
Smash Bros. Tournament. Yes.
You have. You've never mentioned that before.
I'm humble.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Ask the people of East Carolina about the legendary Scott Hall tournament of 2014.
Anyway. So we are very grateful for everything that Smash Brothers has given us, and now Sora is finally here, and the roster at least for now, is complete. So with that, we are ending this very special Smash-focused episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Dialer!
Yes, last week we asked you about our Nintendo draft of historical Nintendo games.
Yeah, it only took 3 days to get up.
It did. I need to make a graphic. Actually, here's the reality. You could still vote now, by the way, if you're listening to this, because the poll went up to over 4th. I created the graphic, and then it was like 2 a.m. I thought, oh, I'll save it for tomorrow. I tried to save the tweet as a draft.
Uh-huh.
It didn't save as a draft because it was a thread. And you know how these things go. Then you got family over. And I got it up before the week was over.
Uh-huh.
So currently, I am in the lead at 75%, and Todd is in second at 25%. But the poll is not closed yet.
No,
you can still vote. Head over to at NEP Podcast to cast your vote and check out our picks.
Yeah, so it definitely. And then for this week's poll question, which Tyler will hopefully get up, I'll allow you a break so this one can end technically, but get it up by Friday at least. What is your? How did you react to Sora in Smash? A, overjoyed. 2, cried tears of joy. C, did I go 2 and C? C, sang simple and clean all day. I was thinking it in my head all day. So yeah, definitely let us, or if you had another reaction, just comment about that and we'll go from there. And of course, just let us know your personal feelings on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. What has been your favorite moments from it? What have been your favorite character trailers? We might do another list on that. What's your favorite DLC character? How hyped are you for Sora to come out on the 18th? And who do you personally want to see in the next Smash Bros. Game, should it be made? Let us know. So for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, and Daddy Sakurai, we know you're listening. Hopefully. I'm Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made to the end of the level. Sora is in Smash Brothers. Raise the flag.